And in December, we are hearing the Christmas story in little different ways. Actually, our preachers portrayed one of characters from the Bible, actually portrayed the characters of the people in the Christmas story. So today, you will be able to meet a priest, Zechariah. Just wait and expect to see him. And now I'm inviting Agnes to the front and read God's word.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 1. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call his name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is very well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to you to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, saying, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. To show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on all those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel, the word of the Lord.
I am Zechariah, the priest. My friends call me Z for short. But for you guys, you may call me Zed. As a priest, it is a great honor to serve the Lord. You see, God set apart the people of Israel to serve him. In fact, that phrase, set apart, in Hebrew, that means holy. So holy is not something or someone that is holier in its character or nature or being. Something is holy simply because God sets that apart for a special usage. And that's what we are, people of Israel. We were set apart, holy, to serve God among the nations. We take pride, therefore, being an Israelite. Now, among the Israelites, we have 12 tribes, you know, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Naphtali, and then there is the tribe of the Levites. God said, you, Israel, you've been set apart for my purpose, and among the Israelites, I set apart the Levites to serve me as priests. It's a great honor to be a priest. As a priest, you intercede on behalf of the people, and you bring the needs of the people before the Holy God. That was my job. It was my father's job. It was the job of my grandfather, and it was the job of my great-grandfather, so forth and so on. We trace our lineage all the way to the first high priest, Aaron, the big bro to Moses, the prophet. We take great pride. We, the Levites, take great pride. Now, it was a time of darkness. When you heard the story of my account, it began with this phrase, in the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. It was a time of darkness because as a nation, we the proud people of God, we've been in slavery. The Romans came and conquered the land, and they took us under captivity, and it was a time of darkness. Many of you have no idea what I'm talking about. As a people, as a nation, you have no saying. Your land is taken. Your name is taken. Your rights are taken. The Romans, they come in, they savage us. Now that King Herod, he was a traitor. He wasn't even Jewish, my friends. He was not. He was this mutt, racial mutt. He was a puppet to the Romans. It was a time of darkness. Our souls were darkened by this hopelessness as a nation, as a proud people. But you know what's worse than that? Personally, it was a time of darkness for my wife, Elizabeth, and myself. You see, she couldn't conceive. We've tried. She couldn't conceive. Now, imagine this. I'm from a very traditional culture. And your livelihood depends on your offspring. But more than that, we believed as the people of God who said, my people, I will bless you. I will bless you with many children. So childlessness was seen as a curse or a punishment. The disgrace that Elizabeth bore, it was unspeakable. She would hide and go into seclusion when her friends and neighbors and relatives got pregnant. She was joyous and happy for them, but in her mind, in her heart, in her soul, she was grieving. She was living in a darkness, dark times. She once told me, Z, take a concubine. Bear me a child. Remove my disgrace. I would rather have you sleep with another woman and get me a child than for me to live in this disgrace. Now, ladies, if any woman is willing to go that far, you know the depth of her darkness. You know what I'm talking about? I never told Lizzie about this, but I was also wrestling with my own darkness. Now, I come from the lineage. Now, within the Levites clan, there are different divisions of families. I belong to the family of Abijah. And within that family, there are many, many families. But as far as my line is concerned, this priesthood, it's going to die with me. I never told Lizzie how disappointed, how shattered I was about that. I couldn't tell her that. I didn't want her to be burdened even more. It was a time of darkness, nationally, but also personally. My friends, how about you? What is your darkness? What is looming over your soul? You know that thought, the last thought that you have right before you put your head on your pillow at night? You know that thought I'm talking about? The thought keeps you awakened throughout the night. The thought, I'm going to call it darkness. It captures your imagination, doesn't it? And it takes you to a place where you don't want to go, because when you go there, it gets darker and darker and darker. What is your darkness? Is it the darkness of loneliness? Is it depression? Is it suicidal thoughts? Is it your health? Or perhaps worse yet, health of your loved ones? The sickness eats away their bodies, their minds, and their souls. What is your darkness? What are you wrestling with? Do you ever pray, oh God, if you are there, should light shine a light upon my darkness and then remove it from me? For I no longer can bear it. You know, Lizzie and I stopped praying to God. It's been too many years. And when you pray for so long and nothing happens, there comes a point where you say, these questions eventually turn to doubts. Doubts sometimes can turn into feeling of indifference. Now, we don't pray for a child. We don't. What's the use? You know what's worse about this? You heard the reader say both Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, blameless before the sight of God. Now, friends, I'll be honest. No one is perfect. No one is righteous. But Lizzie and I, we kept the law of God. We read the Bible every day. We memorized the scripture. We hid the scripture in our hearts. We went to the temple every day, morning and evening. We prayed 3 times a day. We fasted once a week. And we gave more than 1/10 of our income to God. And we observed God. We were faithful to Him. And for what? That thought crept in on my mind. What good is it to obey God? But then everything changed. Everything changed on that day. Now, the Levites, the priests, they cast a lot and decide who gets to go into the temple, the Holy of Holies, within the temple courts, where everyone is, inside the Holy of, there is the common place for common people, and then only the priest, those who are set apart, can enter the Holy of Holies. And there, the priest would burn the incense in the morning after the sacrifice. And after the evening, he would come back again, and after the sacrifice, and he would burn the incense. And it was thought, it was believed, it was practiced. As the smoke rose from the incense altar to the sky, we believed that these smokes became like sweet aroma, pleasing aroma before God's sight. And he is receiving the prayers of the people, given up by the priest, and God receives all their prayer in the form of incense smoke. Now, this was a big deal, being chosen by lot. And it never happened to me all my days. And now on that day it happened. My name was chosen. Zechariah, from the family, the division of Abijah, in the line of Levites, all the way following, tracing to Aaron. So I was there in the morning, burning incense, and night, burning incense. And then it happened. Right before my eyes, there was an angel, and I was filled with fear, gripped with fear. I was totally, totally afraid. Now, it was a strange feeling. This fear was not like being afraid of something awful. I wasn't feeling scared of something that's going to harm me, but I was gripped with fear because I realized this angel of God was a righteous being, more so than I. I was stunned by the glory and the light of the angel because I realized I am a sinner. Broken people living in a broken world. And this was an angelic being. Different. Then I realized, if I felt that fear in the presence of an angel, a created creature, then how much would I be gripped with fear if I stood in the presence of the most holy God? Friends, think about that. God is not an angry God who's waiting for you. All right, Victor, sorry, oops, Zechariah. Let me focus. God is not an angry God who's waiting for you to make a mistake and go, wham, I got you. He's not like that. He is the most holy being, full of light. Do you hear me? And I, you and I, we are not holy. We are dark. We are broken people. We are sinners. There's darkness living in us, in our souls. So what happens when darkness comes too close to the light? The light drives the darkness away. It's like a moth in the summer night being drawn to the light of the zap. When it gets too close, it's zapped. And God does not want us to come too close for our safety. So here's the solution. The angel said, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. And I was feeling two emotions. Number one, little too late, Gabriel. Elizabeth is too old. We have no more hope for a child. Second feeling, what is going on that this angel appeared before me speaking about us becoming parents? And he spoke these words, your child will go before the Lord. He will be a prophet before the Most High God. You know that phrase, before the Most High God? He is talking about the messianic scriptures. Let me explain that. The word Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. And we were told in the Old Testament, in the Jewish Bible, all the problems that we have, the problem of darkness, will be resolved when the Messiah, the anointed one, arrives. The Most High. And that's what the angel was saying. You will have a child. And this child will talk about the coming one. And I say, I'm confused. What are you talking about? How can I be sure of all this? Now, I was not doubting. I was asking for explanation. I was saying, help me with my confusion. And the angel said, from this moment on, you will not be able to speak. It was not a punishment. It was a sign. Sign for me and for everyone that my inability to speak was from God. And he said, when everything that I said to you comes to pass, you will speak. It was both very inconvenient and very convenient not being able to speak, I must say. You know, I couldn't ask for anything. I just couldn't, nothing came out of my mouth. My tongue would move, my lips would move, my mouth would open, and my brain says, speak this, and here's what people heard. So inconvenient. At the same time, convenient, I must say. When Elizabeth says, hey, who left the toilet seat open? Up. Time has passed. As the angel proclaimed and promised, Elizabeth became pregnant. Can you imagine the joy, the heights of our excitement when we found out that she is conceived with a child? Too bad I couldn't speak. But Elizabeth, she proclaimed, the Lord has done this for me, she cried. And the Lord has removed my disgrace among the people. She wept. Tears of joy filled her face. It was a glorious day, glorious day. Good times, real good times. When the child was born, our house was filled with relatives and family and neighbors. And to my surprise, when Elizabeth was asked, what's the name of the boy? She said, his name is Johann, John, which means God is gracious. God has been kind and generous. God has gifted me. But then she was told, hang on, Elizabeth, there's no one named John in your family, because in my tradition, my son would have been called the Junior. Zed Jr. But Liz said, no, his name is John. So everyone came to me, Zechariah, what should we name your son? I asked for a tablet, a writing tablet. They brought me this Apple iPad, I think that's what it was called. So I wrote on the writing tablet, his name is John. That's what the angel said. I don't know how Liz found that out, because I wasn't able to speak, but who? Maybe the angel showed before Elizabeth as well. So he will be called John. Think about this, friends. Every time we held this baby, we said, John, which means God is gracious. God is kind. John, God is kind. Every time I called my son that name, I was reminded of what God has done for us. Great reminder. Great reminder. My tongue was loosed. I was able to speak. And then all of a sudden, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't explain that feeling, all right? So I'm not gonna. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I began to prophesy. It was a really interesting sight because I was speaking. It was my words. It was my thoughts. But it was as if I was being enveloped in this strange, mysterious influence. Now, it's the Holy Spirit. And I began saying things that are familiar. I wasn't foretelling of the future, but I was foretelling of what God has spoken in the Hebrew Bible. Messianic, the things about Messiah. I began saying things like, this child, your son, he will go prepare the way for someone else, the anointed one. There will be another son, another birth. And this birth, the birth of the Messiah, he will be the horn of salvation. Another reference, horn. That is about the Messiah. And I was saying things like, God, remember the covenant of Abraham, covenant of King David. And then when this child comes, the anointed one, he will set you free and he will teach you the way of God and the way of salvation. And listen to this. A light will shine upon darkness, upon the shadow of death. And my people will see the light. All that talk is about the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is to come. Then I realize, the birth of my son, as joyful as it was, nothing compared to the power and the joy of another son, the birth of the Messiah. Friends, my time has come for me to depart. Allow me to leave a few thoughts with you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will help you to glean something out of this storytelling that's being retold and retold and retold. First, name your darkness. Let's say it together. Name your darkness. For me, it was both national and personal. As the people of God, we were in captivity, and as an old couple without a child. That was our darkness. Name yours. What is it? Is it the darkness of loneliness, singleness? Or is it the darkness of married life? Is it the darkness of being lost in this world, looking for the light? Name it. Only you can. Second advice, burn the incense of your prayer. You heard me say, I gave up praying. But friends, when the Lord takes his time, I know it's hard. I know we don't like it, but there's a reason behind it. Don't be like me. Keep burning the incense of prayer. Burn the incense. Let's say it together. Burn the incense. And do it with people. Not alone. Together. Together. May the smoke of your prayers arise from here to God's throne. And may the Lord say, sweet smelling aroma in my sight. Third advice, most important one. Look for the gift behind the gift. Can we say it together? Look for the gift behind the gift. I told you, the gift of having my son was amazing. But we must not stop there. When God shines a light upon your darkness, that is a gift indeed. Be thankful, be joyful. Capture it and say, this is called John. God is gracious. But remember, look for the gift behind the gift. The ultimate gift is the birth of the Messiah. The one who will remove the ultimate darkness of our lives, which is sin. Which is sin. Sin is at the root of all darknesses. And Christ will remove the darkness. Always look for the gift behind the gift. The Lord may put a light on your current darkness, but always remember, God has already removed the ultimate darkness of our sin and death through the birth of your son. In that perspective, it will all be good. What do you say we burn an incense of prayer right now? Shall we? Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the King of the entire universe, we come before you. We thank you, Father, for revealing to us, retelling us, reminding us once again a very familiar story, the birth of your Son, the Messiah, Jesus. Now we ask, as John was instructed, so you are instructing us, as we have, as the people who have received the light shining upon the darkness, you are saying to us, go and prepare the way for the Lord. Go and prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus has come, and you are challenging us to go before the Lord and tell everyone about his birth. Friends, in this month, in this season, may you be like John in the power and the spirit of Elijah the prophet. Go and make way prepared for the Lord. Now, Father, may the light of the Messiah shine upon us now. We ask all this in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And God's people say together, Amen.